Good evening. Could you please turn to your Bible on Psalm 22? I'll be reading from NIV. Whatever translation you have, could you please keep it open at Psalm 22? You may also turn to your electronic devices. Psalm 22 started verse 1. For the director of music to the tune of the dew of the morning, a psalm of David. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from my cries of anguish. My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises. In you, our ancestors put their trust. They trusted and you deliver them. To you they cry out and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I'm a worm and not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From birth I was cast on you. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help. Many bulls surround me, strong bulls of Bashan encircle me. Roaring lions that tear their prey open their mouths wide against me. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. He has melted within me. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs surround me. A pack of villains encircles me. They pierce my hands and my feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. But you, Lord, do not be far from me. You are my strength. Come quickly to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouths of the lion. Save me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will declare your name to my people. In the assembly, I will praise you. You will hear the Lord. Praise him, all you descendants of Jacob. Honor him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you, I will fulfill my vows. The poor will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All will go down to the dust, will kneel before him. Those who cannot keep themselves alive. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn, he has done it. Thanks be to God.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. Thank you. precious fountain from Calvary's mountain. Let's sing together, Jesus keeping the cross.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. There's a precious fountain, free to all, a healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, in my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, a trembling soul,
your seats.
Well, that certainly is the desire of our hearts, isn't it, that we learn what it is. And I think it can take a lifetime to learn. It certainly was so for the Apostle Paul, what it means to glory in the cross. New Testament reading, Matthew chapter 27. I'm going to read from verse 27. Matthew chapter 27, I'll read from verse 27. And then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand. And then they knelt in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. They spit on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. And after they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. And then they led him away to crucify him. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull, and there they offered Jesus wine to drink, mixed with gall, but after tasting it, he refused to drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots, and sitting down, they kept watch over him there. And above his head, they placed the written charge against him: "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." We all hate interruptions. Or maybe you who live in the 21st century, you might disagree with that. You keep your phones on, so you don't miss a message or a WhatsApp. But what when you're on holiday? What when you've come to do what you do every single year because your dad has done it before you? You expect it's going to be another Passover, and then the world, your world, explodes. So let me tell you my story. I'm Simon. Not the Simon who denied Jesus. The Simon, you know, who followed Jesus, who saw his miracles and then just dropped Jesus when it got too hot. The Simon who carried the cross. And Matthew and Mark and Luke, I believe they all talk about me. That's very flattering if I was the important one in the story. But who am I? They could just have spoken about me as a man in the crowd. They do that with some other characters, many names, people. But could it be that they all saw me as being part of a much, much bigger plan? Before I tell you what I saw, let me tell you who I am. They call me Simon of Cyrene. That's a town in North Africa, in a place that's much in the news now, called Libya, not far from Tripoli. And you say an African coming to Jerusalem? Why not? There was a time when my granddad visited Alexandria in Egypt and met a Jew. He'd never met anybody like him before. In fact, he was a little bit weird, he thought. Unlike the many gods we worshipped, he told my granddad there was one creator, one true and living God who created everything. And this God, Jehovah, hadn't just made the world. He'd given a set of laws to his people. If a Jew broke the law, he could easily be struck dead, except for the many sacrifices, which was the opportunity that God gave them to understand forgiveness, at least until the next time they sinned. But you still want to know why I've come to Jerusalem. My granddad converted, but he taught his sons and daughters, and I was circumcised. And I'm in Jerusalem today. I've been coming to Jerusalem for years. And this year I brought my sons, Alexander and Rufus, with me. And every year we celebrate Passover. It's a big deal for us. We remember how years before God saved a people out of Egypt, our people. We remember all the plagues. We remember how families needed to get a lamb, a perfect lamb, and sacrifice that. And a lot of blood was spilled. And we remember how the angel of death passed by wherever the blood was spilled. We thank God once a year ever since. So this is why I'm here in Jerusalem. And that's why I'm out of breath. I'm late coming. And my boys know that I hate being rushed. It's the day of preparation. And because I couldn't get a room in the city, I had to stay outside in the country. Lots of people. Time's running out. So I've come in to get the kosher provisions, the lambs, the herbs, the paste. So when my friend stopped me and wanted to chat, I said, "There's one thing on my mind. I've got to get the lamb. I've got to buy the lamb." You could sense something strange was going on. When I got to the city, they told me about an uprising, a man called Barabbas and some friends. They said they were zealous for God, but actually they were terrorists. And as I asked around for the best deal for the lamb, after all, I'm Jewish, I was told you got to get in and out of town quickly. A man called Jesus has been arrested, a great teacher who's done miracles. Nobody knows why the Jewish leaders hate him so much. You know what it's like when you're in a rush, don't you? If I get lost, I said to Rufus and Alexander, meet me later at one of the gates. Well, we were separated, and about 15 minutes later, I got caught up in something big. As I stepped into the street, a soldier knocked me back, and row after row of people were there, craning their necks. What's going on? I said. Ah, it's this Jesus. This Jesus. They really hate him. They really hate him. He's gone from one trial to another, from Pilate to Herod to Pilate. And as I pushed my way to the front, I saw him. Who is this man? This man that was so beaten up. And everybody knew that when the Romans beat you, they had a whip, a cat of nine tails, which inflicted the most pain without you ever becoming unconscious. If this is a man, what kind of a man deserves that? It's then that my Passover holiday was interrupted because a little bit earlier, two criminals, each of them with a centurion and four soldiers around them, had passed by, and now there were about 100 soldiers trying to control the crowd. And then I saw the centurion in front of Jesus. And behind him I saw two soldiers who looked very bored. And then I saw the man Jesus. And then I saw another two prodding him. Only condemned criminals carried a cross. And then it happened so quickly. As Jesus stumbled under the crossbar, I saw the centurion turning around, speaking to one of the two soldiers. And before I knew it, I felt the tap of the spear. You've heard of the tap of the spear? It's a law that any Roman soldier, doesn't matter how low that Roman soldier was, if he pointed his spear at you, if he tapped you, he could ask you to do anything. He could command you to carry his gear. And suddenly I was caught up in something I couldn't stop. Why me? I'm just Simon. I'm in town to look for a lamb. And as I'm thinking, the soldier looks me into the eye, points to the crossbar and says, "Welcome to the party, because if you can't carry it, you may end up in the same place." I can't describe what happened. It's as if I no longer heard the cries of the crowd or the mocking or the laughing. I know I had to carry the cross because if I didn't do it, I would be killed. But as I looked into the eyes of this man, there was a strange contentment. There was no fear. There was no panic. It's as if he said, "You've come to find a lamb to prepare, but I want you to see that you're part of another preparation for another lamb. Because when you carry that crossbar, the 60 kilograms of it, I want you to see that you are the man for this moment." And I heard later that this man had said to his disciples that he was a good shepherd. I heard later that he said, "No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord." I had to be forced to carry the cross. What kind of man would go through all of that? And so I'm doing it not because I'm forced to. I'm doing it because I want to. I want to. Maybe it was then, I'm not sure, but it's as if within me something said, this is a stigma. If I do this, those up ahead may think I'm the criminal. And this is heavy and this is awkward. And what if my sons see me? But it's as if I forgot about the lamb that I came to buy, and I wanted to know more of this man that people love to hate. So I took up the cross and made my way to Golgotha. My story isn't over. Can I ask you a question? If Jesus was not human, would he have needed me? I was strong enough to carry the cross, even though it wasn't easy. But if he wasn't fully human, would he be able to help any of us? And as I thought about this later, after all of this happened, it gave me such comfort. Because as I realized that it wasn't just for my sins that this man Jesus was carrying the cross. It wasn't just for my pride, which makes me think I'm better than God, or my greed, which always wants more than I'm given, or my self-righteousness, that they're the bad people, but I'm good. He didn't die only for those. He'd been so much further through temptation and trial, which means that wherever you are at the moment, he's fully able to help you in your time of need. I hear that you're a church that has gone through loss, losing somebody you loved, a young person. And yet loss is, it's not just physical loss. It's not just physical loss. I've come to Jerusalem with the lamb on my mind, but this lamb, he knows all about the losses we'll ever experience or will experience. When I was interrupted, my plans were lost. But I was not lost. I saw this man, he interrupted my life. What if today you rolled everything that you are onto his shoulders so that your loss can be turned into gain? Who would want to look at this man? When you looked at him, there was more blood than face. Bits of his beard were torn out, and a crown of thorns was on his head. And then the moment arrived, we got to the top, and I tried to disappear into the crowd, last place I wanted to stay. But I chose to watch and listen. I saw a man, but like no man I'd ever seen. I saw a man not cursing. I saw a man crying out, "Father, forgive them. But they don't know what they do." Forgive? Forgive? How could he pray for them like that? How could he forgive them? Unless he was more than a man. I could not believe it. My faith, my Jewish faith, spoke about loving God and others. But I saw the malice of the religious priests. And against that, I saw the kindness of Jesus. Because there was an older woman there who was weeping. And there was a man called John next to her. And it's as if he forgot about himself completely. What man would do that? And he said, "Woman, here is your son. And then to John, here is your mother." He forgives this man, Jesus. He cares this man, Jesus. And then it dawned on me, I'm a Jew. I'm here in Jerusalem. I've come to buy a lamb. And above his head, they've nailed the sign, "Jesus, King of the Jews." A king who will become a lamb to shed his blood so that sinners may come to know the God who is in heaven. Can you see why I forgot about preparing my lamb? About 3 o'clock, everything got dark. Everything got dark. Not like night dark, but heavy, frightening dark. And I looked at him. And as he was alternating between gasping for air, suddenly he shouted out, "Tetelestai, it is finished. It is finished." He was a man. What was he, only a man? In that moment, the earth shook, an earthquake. It seemed like the world was going to end. But while the ground was shaking, I think I was shaking more. A man like me, if it was me on that cross, I would cry out in anger. I would cry out in defeat. But never in victory. It's done. It's complete. It's finished. And then I realized he hadn't done anything wrong. And as I understood a little more, I realized it was Passover. I'd come to remember the blood of an innocent lamb so that a family could live. I then noticed the blood of Jesus on my own clothes, the blood of the King of the Jews, not demanding blood in vengeance, but giving his blood, Jesus, Passover lamb. And that's why I share my story. Some of Jesus' followers think I'm special, Simon, the man who carried the cross. But who is the special one? Who carried whose cross? For the first time in my life, I found myself a Jew agreeing with a Roman. The centurion who stood next to him saw him die and said, surely he was the Son of God. I need to wrap up. I began calling myself Simon of Cyrene, but actually I'm Simon the Christ follower now. I was forced to carry his cross. Jesus volunteered to carry the burden of all of my sin. What I did, I was pushed into doing. Jesus cheerfully bore the sins, all of them, my sin too, of those whom he loved. Jesus lived the life of perfect obedience I could never do as a Jew because I was conscious that I couldn't meet up to those laws. Jesus died to exhaust the judgment of God so that Simon the sinner can be completely forgiven and live perfectly righteously in the eyes of God. More. I just come to buy a lamb. But it wasn't a soldier, it wasn't a tap of the spear that interrupted my life. It was Jesus. About you. Easter comes and Easter goes. What about you? I have decided to follow Jesus. I still remind minds of the Exodus, but when Alexander and Rufus asked me about the day I got lost, I speak of something much, much greater. I speak about Jesus, the Passover Lamb, who's come to take away the sin of the world, about Jesus who died for me, but not only for me, Jesus who interrupted the whole of Jerusalem so that some days later they could not find his body in the tomb. In a moment, brothers and sisters, we're going to remember the true Passover. The Passover of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But brothers and sisters, the cross isn't something abstract. Please don't think of it as something abstract, something that just happened 2,000 years ago. Please see it as something personal, personal, personal for you. A man came to a city with one purpose. He was drawn into a story that changed him forever. We can choose to watch as the crowd of Simon. We can be drawn into the story so that we're never the same again. Let's spend some moments, some silent moments in the quietness of this time, just giving thanks to the Lord for just that, who gave his life for sinners. If you've not committed your life to the Lord Jesus, and you want to do that, you don't have to do anything but cry out to him in the quietness of your heart. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I don't need others to tell me that. My conscience is enough. I've heard about the Simon whose life was changed. Was it? Help me to see more of your beauty so that I can give my life over to you and repent from my sin and trust in Jesus. If you're not yet a Christian, you can pray that from the heart, then by God's grace, can indeed become a Christian. But a moment or two for those of us who say we love the Lord Jesus Christ. He was tested, tempted, bore pain beyond that which any of us can bear, which is why he's such a faithful high priest. The song says, help me to take it in what it meant to you, the Holy One, to take away my sin. Father, help us through this day as we give you thanks, as we remember Jesus now around the table. Help us to worship you appropriately, not only on this day we call Good Friday, but with every day you give to us, so that Jesus might be glorified in our lives. We love you, Lord. Amen. Let's sing together.
Bye.
seated, and if those who would be serving at the table with me could come forward. A little bit earlier, Norbert read Psalm 32, and apparently Jesus recited that entire psalm when he was on the cross. In Matthew 27, the chapter that we were looking at earlier, read in verse 46, at about 3 o'clock, as darkness covered the land, he cried out and said, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? And we know, don't we, that there's a sense in which God can't abandon God. I mean, it's if that had actually happened, then we wouldn't have the triune. What does it actually mean for us as we think about that day today? It means that in his human nature, Jesus that we've been speaking about, experienced what he'd never known before. He'd just known unbroken joy and fellowship in the presence of his Father at the cross. God made Jesus. It's not as if he turned Jesus into sin because Jesus had no sin, but God treated him as if he was bearing the sin of every single person who would ever trust in him. And today I'm reminded as I come around this table that I've spat in the face of Jesus many times with my sin. And that's really what sinning is, right? It's spitting in the face of Jesus. Interesting, after they put the crown of thorns on him, the soldiers spat in his face. But I'm reminded as I come around the table and as I think, not just the physical sin, because of the cross. We know that our Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it and he said, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This is to us a wonderful time, Lord. It's a time that we set aside to think of what it must have been like for you that night before you were betrayed, handed over, denied, cursed, that you took the bread and you shared it, and you shared it even with those whom you knew would disappoint you. And we're reminded today that there is no one who could ever love with the love that you have. And that you not only washed the feet of the disciples, and not only knew what was in their hearts, you not only knew what they were, but you were willing, you cheerfully went to the cross for us. You gave your body. Nobody forced you to do it. You're the Son of God. You chose to do it. Think of Jesus today. We say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for doing this for me. Thank you for doing this for everyone who trusts in Jesus. Help us to understand it. Help us to take it in, what it meant to you, the Holy One, to take away our sin. Amen. Well, as you receive the bread, please keep it, and we're going to eat together as a token of our unity in the Lord Jesus Christ.
As we think of the good that comes out of this day we call Good Friday, let's eat with thanksgiving. Same way after supper, he took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this every time you drink it in remembrance of me." So much blood spilled, Lord, through the ages, through the centuries. So many lambs slaughtered. And no chair in the temple. The priests had to stand because what they were doing they had to do again and again and again and again. The Bible says that you laid down your life and your blood, the blood of the true Passover lamb, was spilled. You not only rose from the dead, you ascended into heaven. And you've sat down at the right hand of God, your Father. Your work is over. It is finished. It is complete. Only this blood can cleanse from sin. What can wash away our sins? Nothing. But the blood of Jesus. And today we don't take it lightly. Today we thank you that you love us and you have demonstrated your love, Father, in sending your Son, Jesus, in cheerfully coming, Holy Spirit, in taking this blood and the work of Jesus and applying it into our hearts so that we can lay down our lives before you and say we desire nothing more than living for Jesus. Help us to understand it. Amen. Once again, please keep the cup and we're going to drink together. Song that Linda was playing, "What Can Wash Away My Sin? Nothing But the Blood of Jesus." Let's drink with thanksgiving. In a moment I'm going to close in prayer, and after that I'm going to suggest we sing the last verse of The Power of the Cross. But let me remind you that if there wasn't a perfect life, Jesus' death wouldn't have meant anything. Because there was a perfect life, it meant that Jesus could not see decay. When his body was buried on the third day, he rose again. So whenever we come around this table, we do it with a sense of victory. It is finished. And on Sunday we remember his resurrection power and that he's making all things new. Gives us great hope. Let me close in prayer and then we sing together the last verse. Father, we are just, we're debtors to you. We're debtors to your grace. And of all people in this world, this fallen world with all of its struggles and all of its war and all of its greed and all of its corruption and all of its killing, we thank you that you are creating for yourself a people. You have been doing that scattered throughout the world who live for your glory, sometimes who are against the odds, people who boast not in human achievement but in the power of the cross. And as we sing about that in a moment or two, as we sing the last verse of that great hymn, help us to see that the power of the cross is sufficient for any and every situation. Send us out into the world with that great message that Jesus not only lived the life we couldn't, died the death we should have, Jesus is risen, Jesus is reigning, Jesus is coming again. You're our hope, you're our glory. And now may the love of God the Father, the grace of Jesus the Son, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of those who know him and love him both now and forever. Amen. Well, let's stand and sing together, shall we, the last verse. To see my name
written on the wounds, for through your suffering I am free. Death is crushed to death, life is mine to live. Walk through your selfless love. This
people say, amen. Amen. God bless you.